Chapter 23. Not exactly engaged, but going to be to a gentleman's son, none of your corn factors, but a gentleman's son of high descent, who had come down as teacher to Dotheboys Hall, under most mysterious and remarkable circumstances indeed, as Miss Squeers more than once hinted she had good reason to believe, induced, by the fame of her many charms, to seek her out, and woo and win her. Isn't it an extraordinary thing? Apostrophe apostrophe said Miss Squeers, emphasizing the adjective strongly. Most extraordinary, apostrophe replied the friend. But what has he said to you? Apostrophe apostrophe, don't ask me what he said, my dear, apostrophe rejoined Miss Squeers. If you had only seen his looks and smiles. I never was so overcome in all my life. Apostrophe, did he look in this way? Apostrophe apostrophe inquired the miller's daughter, counterfeiting, as nearly as she could, a favorite leer of the corn factor. Very like that, only more genteel, apostrophe replied Miss Squeers. Ah! Apostrophe apostrophe said the friend, then he means something, depend on it. Apostrophe, Miss Squeers, having slight misgivings on the subject, was by no means ill-pleased to be confirmed by a competent authority, and discovering, on further conversation and comparison of notes, a great many points of resemblance between the behavior of Nicholas and that of the corn factor, grew so exceedingly confidential that she interested her friend with a vast number of things Nicholas had not said, which were also very complimentary, as to be quite conclusive. Then, she dilated on the fearful hardship of having a father and mother strenuously opposed to her intended husband, on which unhappy circumstance she dwelt at great length, for the friend's father and mother were quite agreeable to her being married, and the whole courtship was in consequence as flat and commonplace an affair as it was possible to imagine. How I should like to see him! Apostrophe apostrophe exclaimed the friend. So you shall, tilde, apostrophe replied Miss Squeers. I should consider myself one of the most ungrateful creatures alive, if I denied you. I think mother's going away for 2 days to fetch some boys, and when she does, I'll ask you and John up to tea, and have him to meet you. Apostrophe, this was a charming idea, and having fully discussed it, the friends parted. It so fell out that Mrs. Squeers' journey, to some distance, to fetch 3 new boys, and dun the relations of 2 old ones for the balance of a small account, was fixed that very afternoon, for the next day but one. And on the next day but one, Mrs. Squeers got up outside the coach, as it stopped to change at Greta Bridge, taking with her a small bundle containing something in a bottle, and some sandwiches, and carrying besides a large white top coat to wear in the night time, with which baggage she went her way. Whenever such opportunities as these occurred, it was Squeers' custom to drive over to the market town, every evening, on pretense of urgent business, and stop till 10 or 11 o'clock at a tavern he much affected. As the party was not in his way, therefore, but rather afforded a means of compromise with Miss Squeers, he readily yielded his full assent thereunto, and willingly communicated to Nicholas that he was expected to take his tea in the parlor that evening, at 5 o'clock. To be sure, Miss Squeers was in a desperate flutter as the time approached, and to be sure she was dressed out to the best advantage. With her hair it had more than a tinge of red, and she wore it in a crop curled in 5 distinct rows, up to the very top of her head, and arranged dexterously over the doubtful eye, to say nothing of the blue sash which floated down her back, or the worked apron or the long gloves, or the green gauze scarf worn over one shoulder and under the other, or any of the numerous devices which were to be as so many arrows to the heart of Nicholas. She had scarcely completed these arrangements to her entire satisfaction, when the friend arrived with a whitey-brown parcel flat, and 3-cornered containing sundry small adornments which were to be put on upstairs, and which the friend put on, talking incessantly. When Miss Squeers had done the friend's hair, the friend did Miss Squeers' hair, throwing in some striking improvements in the way of ringlets down the neck. And then, when they were both touched up to their entire satisfaction, they went downstairs in full state with the long gloves on, all ready for company. Where's John, Tilda? Apostrophe apostrophe said Miss Squeers. Only gone home to clean himself, apostrophe replied the friend. He will be here by the time the tea's drawn. Apostrophe, I do so palpitate, apostrophe observed Miss Squeers. Ah, I know what it is, apostrophe replied the friend. I have not been used to it, you know, Tilda, apostrophe said Miss Squeers, applying her hand to the left side of her sash. You'll soon get the better of it, dear, apostrophe rejoined the friend. While they were talking thus, the hungry servant brought in the tea things, and, soon afterwards, somebody tapped at the room door. There he is! Apostrophe apostrophe cried Miss Squeers. Oh, Tilda! Apostrophe, hush! Apostrophe apostrophe said Tilda. Hem! Say, come in! Apostrophe, come in! Apostrophe cried Miss Squeers faintly. And in walked Nicholas. Good evening, apostrophe said that young gentleman, all unconscious of his conquest. I understood from Mr. Squeers, that apostrophe, oh yes, it's all right, apostrophe interposed Miss Squeers. Father don't tea with us, but you won't mind that, I dare say. Apostrophe, this was said archly. Nicholas opened his eyes at this, but he turned the matter off very coolly, not caring particularly about anything just then, and went through the ceremony of introduction to the miller's daughter with so much grace, that young lady was lost in admiration. We are only waiting for one more gentleman, apostrophe said Miss Squeers, taking off the teapot lid, and looking in, to see how the tea was getting on. It was matter of equal moment to Nicholas, whether they were waiting for one gentleman or 20, so he received the intelligence with perfect unconcern, and, being out of spirits, and not seeing any especial reason why he should make himself agreeable, looked out of the window and sighed involuntarily. As luck would have it, Miss Squeers' friend was of a playful turn, and hearing Nicholas sigh, she took it into her head to rally the lovers on their lowness of spirits. But if it's caused by my being here, apostrophe said the young lady, don't mind me a bit, for I'm quite as bad. You may go on just as you would, if you were alone. Apostrophe, Tilda, apostrophe said Miss Squeers, coloring up to the top row of curls, I am ashamed of you. Apostrophe and here the two friends burst into a variety of giggles, and glanced from time to time, over the tops of their pocket handkerchiefs, at Nicholas, who from a state of unmixed astonishment, gradually fell into one of irrepressible laughter occasioned, partly by the bare notion of his being in love with Miss Squeers, and partly by the preposterous appearance and behavior of the two girls. These two causes of merriment, taken together, struck him as being so keenly ridiculous, that, despite his miserable condition, he laughed till he was thoroughly exhausted. Well, apostrophe thought Nicholas, as I am here, and seem expected, for some reason or other, to be amiable, it's of no use looking like a goose. I may as well accommodate myself to the company. Apostrophe, we blush to tell it, but his youthful spirits and vivacity getting, for the time, the better of his sad thoughts, he no sooner formed this resolution than he saluted Miss Squeers, and the friend with great gallantry, and drawing a chair to the tea table, began to make himself more at home than in all probability an usher has ever done in his employer's house since ushers were first invented. The ladies were in the full delight of this altered behavior on the part of Mr. Nickleby, when the expected swain arrived, with his hair very damp from recent washing, and a clean shirt, whereof the collar might have belonged to some giant ancestor, forming, together with a white waistcoat of similar dimensions, the chief ornament of his person. Well, John, apostrophe said Miss Matilda Price, which, by the by, was the name of the miller's daughter. Weel, apostrophe said John with a grin, that even the collar could not conceal. I beg your pardon, apostrophe interposed Miss Squeers, hastening to do the honors. Mr. Nickleby, Mr. John Browdy. Apostrophe, servant, sir, apostrophe said John, who was something over 6 feet high, with a face and body rather above the due proportion than below it. Yours to command, sir, apostrophe replied Nicholas, making fearful ravages on the bread and butter. Mr. Browdy was not a gentleman of great conversational powers, so he grinned twice more, and having now bestowed his customary mark of recognition on every person in company, grinned at nothing in particular, and helped himself to food. Old woman awa, bean she? Apostrophe apostrophe said Mr. Browdy, with his mouth full. Miss Squeers nodded assent. Mr. Browdy gave a grin of special width, as if he thought that really was something to laugh at, and went to work at the bread and butter with increased vigor. It was quite a sight, to behold how he and Nicholas emptied the plate between them. Ye weent get bread and butter every night, I expect, mun, apostrophe said Mr. Browdy, after he had sat staring at Nicholas a long time over the empty plate. Nicholas bit his lip, and colored, but affected not to hear the remark. Ecod, apostrophe said Mr. Browdy, laughing boisterously, they deen't put too much into them. Ye'll be note, but skin and bones, if you stop here long enough. Ho! 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 Apostrophe, you are facetious, sir, apostrophe said Nicholas, scornfully. Nah, I deen't know, apostrophe replied Mr. Browdy, but to their teacher, cod he were a learn none, he were. Apostrophe the recollection of the last teacher's leanness seemed to afford Mr. Browdy the most exquisite delight, for he laughed until he found it necessary to apply his coat cuffs to his eyes. I don't know whether your perceptions are quite keen enough, Mr. Browdy, to enable you to understand that your remarks are offensive, apostrophe said Nicholas in a towering passion, but if they are, have the goodness to apostrophe if you say another word. John, apostrophe shrieked Miss Price, stopping her admirer's mouth as he was about to interrupt. Only half a word, I'll never forgive you, or speak to you again. Apostrophe, weel, my lass, I deen't care a boot un, apostrophe said the corn factor, bestowing a hearty kiss on Miss Matilda. Let un gang on, let un gang on. Apostrophe, it now became Miss Squeers' turn to intercede with Nicholas, which he did with many symptoms of alarm and horror. The effect of the double intercession was that he and John Browdy shook hands across the table with much gravity, and such was the imposing nature of the ceremonial that Miss Squeers was overcome and shed tears. What's the matter, Fanny? Apostrophe apostrophe said Miss Price. Nothing, Tilda, apostrophe replied Miss Squeers, sobbing. There never was any danger, apostrophe said Miss Price. Was there, Mr. Nickleby? Apostrophe apostrophe, none at all, apostrophe replied Nicholas. Absurd. Apostrophe, that's right, apostrophe whispered Miss Price. Say something kind to her, and she'll soon come round. Here. Shall John and I go into the little kitchen, and come back presently? Apostrophe apostrophe, not on any account, apostrophe rejoined Nicholas, quite alarmed at the proposition. What on earth should you do that for? Apostrophe, well, apostrophe said Miss Price, beckoning him aside, and speaking with some degree of contempt, you are a one to keep company. Apostrophe, what do you mean? Apostrophe apostrophe said Nicholas, I am not a one to keep company at all here at all events. I can't make this out. Apostrophe, no, nor I neither, rejoined Miss Price. But men are always fickle, and always were, and always will be, that I can make out, very easily. Apostrophe, fickle. Apostrophe, apostrophe, cried Nicholas. What do you suppose? You don't mean to say that you think apostrophe, oh no, I think nothing at all, apostrophe retorted Miss Price, pettishly. Look at her, dressed so beautiful and looking so well, really almost handsome. I am ashamed at you. Apostrophe, my dear girl, what have I got to do with her dressing beautifully or looking well? Apostrophe apostrophe inquired Nicholas. come. Don't call me a dear girl, apostrophe said Miss Price, smiling a little though, for she was pretty, and a coquette too in her small way, and Nicholas was good looking, and she supposed him the property of somebody else, which were all reasons why she should be gratified to think she had made an impression on him, or Fanny will be saying it's my fault. Come, we're going to have a game at cards. Apostrophe pronouncing these last words aloud, she tripped away, and rejoined the big Yorkshireman. This was wholly unintelligible to Nicholas, who had no other distinct impression on his mind at the moment than that Miss Squeers was an ordinary-looking girl, and her friend Miss Price a pretty one. But he had not time to enlighten himself by reflection, for the hearth being by this time swept up, and the candle snuffed, they sat down to play speculation. There are only four of us, Tilda, apostrophe said Miss Squeers, looking slyly at Nicholas. So we had better go partners, two against two. Apostrophe, what do you say, Mr. Nickleby? Apostrophe, inquired Miss Price. With all the pleasure in life, apostrophe replied Nicholas. And so saying, quite unconscious of his heinous offense, he amalgamated into one common heap those portions of a Doughboy's Hall card of terms, which represented his own counters, and those allotted to Miss Price, respectively. Mr. Browdy, apostrophe said Miss Squeers hysterically, shall we make a bank against them? Apostrophe, Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.